A tough time to take less.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media here in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The trustees who oversee Social Security say millions of seniors could see their payments shrink next year. Marketplace's Steve Henn joins us live. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Bill.
Why would Social Security checks get smaller?
Well, for the first time in a generation, there hasn't been any inflation. Social Security payments are usually pegged, or increases in Social Security payments are usually pegged to the inflation rate. But last year, prices actually fell a bit. So that means there's no automatic increase in the pipeline.
So are any seniors actually getting less money?
Well, the Social Security law doesn't allow for an outright cut in benefits. But for millions of seniors, 32 million seniors who participate in Medicare's prescription drug program, they're going to see their prescription drug costs and their premiums for drugs go up a bit. So even though their Social Security check isn't shrinking, their payments for drug coverage will rise and they'll end up with a few dollars less in cash each month.
Okay, a few dollars. So it's not a huge hit?
You know, it's not a huge hit. Premiums will rise on average about $2 a month, and that's not a huge disaster. But when you think about the fact that the average Social Security check is just over $1,100 a month, you know, that's not much money to live on. And, you know, even this little reduction will make it harder for some seniors to make ends meet.
Marketplace's Steve Henn, thank you for that.
Sure thing.
Car dealerships had a busy weekend. Shoppers rushing to get in on Cash for Clunkers, which expires tonight. The program has gotten some gas guzzlers off the road, though energy experts say any pollution effect is so small it's mostly beside the point. And now for numbers. European markets are up about 0.5% this morning, and this follows some boom times in Asian markets today. Thailand's economy emerged from recession last quarter. On Wall Street last week, the market tanked Monday, but more than rebounded the rest of the week. On Friday, the Dow leapt 166 points to 9,505. So, how many American banks are going to fail this week? It's a common question. 80 of them have gone bust so far this year. More went under on Friday. The FDIC is having trouble finding buyers. Of course, there's always private equity firms to do the buying of banks, but until now, the FDIC has been reluctant to let them in. Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us why.
Private equity firms have a lot of money, and a lot of them would like to own some of these failed banks. Stephen Kaplan's a professor at the University of Chicago's Business School, and he says some people are worried that private equity firms would take advantage of the situation.
They'll somehow use the bank to help finance some of their companies in a way that isn't economically rational or economically sound.
Or they might try to make a quick buck by flipping the banks to another buyer. David Brophy specializes in private equity at the University of Michigan's Business School. He says in some ways, private equity firms would be less threatening to the FDIC than other options, like, say, foreign buyers.
I think that when they think about the private equity business, it's sort of the devil you know.
That devil may not be as evil as he's made out to be. Brophy says private equity firms may have a reputation for flipping assets quickly, but these days they're more likely to spend time fixing companies up before they sell them off. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
How many times have we told you on this show about consumers not consuming? You know the drill. Some are unemployed. Some are in debt. So here's a question. Why are some consumers at a Maserati dealership? Well, from WUWM in Milwaukee, Aaron Toner reports.
Last year, a British insurance company called Hiscox did a study to find the sexiest-sounding car. Men and women listened to luxury car engines. Then they had their testosterone levels tested. The more testosterone, the more arousal. This car was the winner, the Maserati Gran Turismo S, a car with all the finest things, like a suede-covered steering wheel and hand-stitched Italian leather. It has long, sleek lines and a hood that curves up on the sides and then dips down to form a wide nose. It's on the lot at International Maserati in Waukesha, Wisconsin, part of a luxury car group. Jason Green's sold two so far.
So how much does this car go for?
It's not much if you say it fast, $145,000.
But there is a market for these cars, even now, and even in Wisconsin. This Maserati showroom, the only one in the state, is near wealthy suburbs outside Milwaukee. So if the cars are going to sell in Wisconsin, they're probably going to sell here. Jason Green's sold two so far.
You know, people aren't retiring like they were. They're working harder and longer, and there's a lot of stress. And I think that a brand like this and what this represents is not some kind of, you know, ostentatious whim as much as just enjoying the moments that you're behind the wheel of a car.
And it's not just Maseratis going out the door. This dealer sold 27 Porsches in April, May, and June, and other luxury models had record-setting months in the spring. Mark Sweeney is looking around the lot this morning. He's an engineer from Wausau, Wisconsin.
I think the Gran Turismo is hopefully my next car.
Right now, Sweeney drives a 99 Porsche 911, but today he has eyes for a jet black Maserati.
It's just sexy. It's the sound, the shapes, the exclusivity. There's not much like that in Wausau, I'll tell you that.
Or many other places. Maserati sends just a few thousand cars to the U.S. for sale every year. In Milwaukee, I'm Aaron Toner for Marketplace.
And finally, Scotland's Edinburgh Fringe continues today, biggest arts festival in the world. They have given out the prize for the festival's funniest jokes, and some of them seem aimed at people who are thriving in this recession. Quote, to the people who've got iPhones, you just bought one. You didn't invent it. And this one defines a spa hotel. It's like a normal hotel, but in the reception area, there's a picture of a pebble. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. A good Monday to you.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.